بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وائل ابن حجر رضي الله عنه is a reputable Sahabi coming from Yemen, the leader of his people, and approximately in all the books of hadith you will find his hadith is reported. Wail ibn Hujr, and more or less relating to namaz and the different etiquettes relating to namaz. And the Sahabi Wail ibn Hujr came about twice to Medina Munawwara, but then they observed everything properly. Came the first time, then the second time. So you see the concern, the commitment, namaz, how it's performed, posture, how the postures are, timings, the entry time, expiry time, all that they captured it very well, beautifully, and recorded it. So therefore, you'll find nearly all books of hadith, whether it's Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, all have got his hadith. In his first visit to Medina Munawwara, because he was a leader of his community, so some land was allocated. Now, we will wonder why some land is allocated to a leader. See, the leader's responsibilities are different to a non-leader. There are emergencies, right? Sometimes you have to send an envoy. Sometimes you have to receive something. Sometimes you just get guests coming in. So the leader has to host all these things here. And the guests are coming in, not one, sometimes 20, 30 at a time. You have to be prepared for every situation. So now, that requires that you need some land. Now say for example, for the type of administration, you need 50 acres. Because you've got 50 animals. A camel needs that amount of space, that amount of feed. So that requires that amount of land. So now, he needs to be given that type of land so he can do the type of job that he's doing. These type of things have to be explained. Why? Sometimes the questions come up in the mind, why is he being given so much of land? Now, the hadith has to be learned, and has to be learned in context. If it's not learned in context, then you will misconstrue, and that misconstruing will lead to misguiding. So learn it, but learn it in context. So you're faithful to the hadith, and you're not allowing confusion in your mind. One person comes to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and he says, what's the penalty for murder? He says that it's a sin that is unpardonable. You will never get yourself forgiven, never redeemed. He went away. A day or two later, another person comes. What is the sin for the crime of murder? Allah will forgive you. The person killed 100 people, yet Allah was ready to forgive him, gave him all the assurance. Now the students have got inquiring minds, and they need to have inquiring minds because you're studying. And when you're studying, then you need to see everything in perspective. One is the elder of the house, right? The elder of the house will do the administration. And in the administration, then you need to just carry out orders. The father will say, you know, it's winter months, and you must be at home at around 4 o'clock. So the child can't say, why 4 o'clock? Why not 10 o'clock at night? Can't say that. So the father has seen the whole thing, and he knows what's better for the child, because tomorrow is another day, is to prepare today for tomorrow. And he's coming at 10 o'clock, How is he going to do his homework, his assignments, rest of the duties, namaz, assignments, how is he going to do it? So there you will not question. So there is just a matter of executing. The same happens in a khanqah. In a khanqah, you just need to execute. Whoever is the head, you tell you do this and don't do this. So it's about correcting you, giving you a shape and giving you a design. He can only give you a design if there's no resistance. He's trying to design you. Say, no, it's not the way, man. He's designing again. No, this is not the way. Then, can he design you? Can you correct? He can't correct. He can't give you the mode that he wants. Because for every stroke, you're complaining. When you're complaining for every stroke, then how can he correct you? But now, when you are studying, then it's a different thing altogether. It's a different experience. You need to know why this lesson was given in this way. What's the reasoning behind it? Because tomorrow, the student will be teaching what the ustad had taught. Right? And if he's grasped it very well, then he can deliver it well. But if he's not grasped it very well, then he'll be in a confused state of mind. Here you allowed it, and here you disallowed it. Here you said Allah will forgive, and here you said Allah will never forgive you. So now he can't make up his mind. So the student asked Ibn Abbas, okay, this is what happened, you know, on this occasion you said Allah will never make you maaf. On this occasion you said Allah will forgive you definitely. So what's the reason? Why the variance? One side permissible, one side not permissible, one side unpardonable, one side is pardoned. So what's the story? So Ibn Abbas says, it's a pity that you people don't see like what I see. This person here, I said, it's unpardonable. So he is contemplating murder. He's contemplating murder. If I'm going to tell him, you know, that don't worry, Allah will forgive that person, killed 100 people, Allah will forgive him. So, say, alright, so what's wrong? Allah will forgive. So let me just take the advantage and finish it up, class. And the second person, he's already committed the crime. And he's on the verge of despondency. When he's on the verge of despondency, then there's no such thing like being despondent in Islam. You can recover from whatever crime you committed, shirk, kufr, whatever. But in time you ask tawbah, follow the procedure, Allah will forgive you. So there's no such thing like despondency. Now you see how important it is to understand hadith, but understand it in perspective. Now you just got something here, one information, one line here, two lines this side here, three lines this side, and we think that we are doing a service to ourselves, then really it's a disservice. Because we didn't understand it in perspective. You're listening to 50 bayans, WhatsApp and radio, this radio, that radio, and then now you're wondering now, why the speaker speaks in this manner, and why he's speaking that way. I ask you, have you done a service to yourself or a disservice? Your mind is confused now. He's saying something, he's saying something else. What is right, what is not right? So the right thing is, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينُكُمْ فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. You better check out who you're getting your deen from. Source it, see who you're getting. You don't have that level of understanding, then you confide in someone that you have all the confidence in. He's not commercialized. He's thorough in what he's doing, and he seems to conform with the pious of the past. He's not looking for loopholes, etc. All the pious of the past, they see, they've got the same line, is conformity in thought. And he himself is a practicing person, he's got taqwa, righteousness. So when you saw all that, you take your time and find that type of person. See, when you want a product, right? You want to sell a product, then you don't just go and buy it anywhere. So, alright, what is the best thing in the market? What will sell very well? Where the price is? What is the price? Where must source it from? You make all your homework, then you do that commitment. And in doing that homework, sometimes it will cost you 500,000 rand, 200,000 rand, a million rand. You did all the homework according to your purchases. That's the commitment that you will make. Eventually you settle on someone, then you do the thing. Then it works out right. So similarly here, you do the homework, go and see, check out yourself, see. The idea here is that you must adhere to the sunnah. There must be a level of taqwa in you, restraint. So you're sitting in some bayan, and you begin to learn to restrain yourself. You understand, all right, these are the wrongs. This is where I'm going off. This is where I'm getting confused, right? You begin to see it properly. So that means that's the right person, because he's got the scanning machine. He can scan you out straight. This is the problem. When you go to a doctor now, he says, all right, take Smarties. Sugar-coated Smarties. Take chocolate. For Erica for this year. Won't you say that? You want to know your problems, therefore you go to the doctor, he must diagnose and then prescribe after that. So if that Sheikh is showing you your problems, and you can identify, and you find an improvement in you, then that's the person you must hold on to. Right? Then after that, don't look right, don't look left. Why is he saying this? Why that person is saying that? Then you're going to bring a confusion. But if it's an additional kitab or a person that you need to see, then get it scanned by him. Get it checked by him. All right, I'm going to go here. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to read this book here. What do you think about it? So if it's one person that you committed yourself to, then he'll give you his best as well. But now you are investigating this side, looking around that side. Your mind is all over, fishing everywhere, right? So he understands also that you haven't given the commitment. So I can't guide him like I would like to guide him. Because he hasn't given a commitment. And if he hasn't given a commitment, then I can't guide him. But if he's given a commitment, then I know how to guide him. I understand. So we're talking of Hazrat Wa'il ibn Hujr radiallahu anhu. And these stories of the Sahaba Kiram have got tons and tons of treasures of wisdom, jewels of wisdom. But it's just that we need to see them with a clear mind, clear sight and a clear mind, then you'll see within them. But if it is a preconceived mind, or it's a mind that's already prejudiced, you can't see it properly. Because you want to see it in a certain way. Right? If you're prejudiced also, so why is he saying this? So if you're prejudiced or you are preconceived, you can't get the right picture. So the mind needs to be absolutely clear to see the proper picture. You want to see things with your eyes, but you've got a yellow color glass. So everything you're going to be seeing yellow. Now why the whole world is yellow? You don't realize the weakness is within you. It's not in the outside, it's within you. So if your mind is painted already, then you're going to see it in that color that you have painted the mind. Then you will say, no, he's wrong and that person is wrong. So if you need to get the right picture, then your mind mustn't be preconceived nor prejudiced. Now, it's more or less qalb salim, looking for the right. You're going to see it right. This morning I was wondering, Allah Pak is talking about the jannat, is right? إِلَّا مُنَتَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. He came with the goodness of the heart. Right? But Allah Pak didn't say he came with the goodness of the action. So there must be a reason. That his mind is right. His mind is 100% right. If his mind is 100% right, then his reaction will also be right. If he hears something, he will react the right way. But if his mind is all polluted and covered up, then I ask you, will the reaction be right? Can't be right. Can be right if the mind is right. Mind is 100% clear, then he sees things properly, and the response also will be right. So the importance of getting the mind right. Now when you talk to people, they say, you know, but my heart is very good. You know? So why you come here then? Everybody's heart is good then. Then is there a need to come? No need to come. My heart is good. You're already pre-deciding, preempting about your mind that my heart is good. Every second person you talk to says, my heart is good. But that goodness is in conformity with the standard of Allah Ta'ala. That's what needs to be seen. That goodness Is it in conformity with the standard of Allah Ta'ala? Then you can say it's good. But if it's not conforming with His standard, then you can't say it's a good heart. You're imagining it to be a good heart, but it's not good. So, Islam is not something just on the cover. You know, what's happening in this day, that we're looking for the cover Islam. Just, you know, on the surface it must look good. Whether it's good or not, that's not my business. But what we're looking for, that it must look nice. If the person is right or not right, we're not worried about. We're going for a proposal, so she must look nice. Whether she is nice or not, that's irrelevant, but she must look nice. So she must talk nice, she must look nice, that's the criteria. But whether she is nice or not, she is good or not, that's not the criteria. And I have to remind people so many times, tomorrow this woman is going to be a mother of your children. So you look at it, she is right or not. She's right, she'll pass on the right values to your children. But if you only went for the looks, and you didn't see her properly, that means you didn't do the homework properly, then on the cover she will look very nice, behind you she'll do something else. So she must have the right qualities, right values she must have, so those right values will be passed on to your children. Your children are taking a right path. So we were talking of his wife Ibn Hujr radiallahu anhu. And Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was sent with Hazrat Wail. Perhaps that land was given or something, so demarcating whatever it was, whatever purposes. So, en route it became unbearably hot. You know, you're talking about Arabia, the heat, and the sand, sometimes it's rocky terrain. Now, Hazrat Muawiyah is pleading with Hazrat Wail, see, let me ride with you at least. Said, are you too mean? You don't deserve to be riding with me. See, I am a leader. You are just an ordinary simpleton. You don't deserve to be riding with a leader. Carried on. Lend me your shoes. See, I'm burning now. You don't deserve all this here. You just carry on. You're a worker here. You just carry on like that. Anyway, the mission was accomplished. Muawiyah is returning to Medina Munawwara radiyallahu anhu, and the style was to give a full report. They gave a full report, and Rasulullah said, just leave him, he's new, he'll come right in time, right? But there's several things to learn here. One thing that is to be learned here is he's given a full report, what happened, right? So that full report will not amount to ghibat. He was assigned with a certain work, and where it became a little bit inconveniencing or uncomfortable, he mentioned that also here, right? So it was behind Wail ibn Hujr radiyallahu. So this doesn't amount to ghibat. Now why doesn't it amount to ghibat? Because when the report is given, then you understand, all right, this man here, then we need some mission to be accomplished. Can we use him or can't we use him? Now he found him that, you know, we can't use him. And if the report wasn't brought to Rasulullah Pak's person, this man will continue. When he continues, can he make the adjustments? He can't make the adjustments. You have to give the full report. And therefore Rasulullah didn't prevent him from speaking about Wail ibn Hujr radiyallahu anhu. Then again you understand that the Sahaba style was, they would give a full report. Whatever happened in the presence, or what happened in the absence, they would come and give a full report, they will give it. Now, unfortunately this day also, what happens now, we don't give a full report of a mission, of any work, we don't give a full report. And when we don't give the full report, we think we are doing good for ourselves or that person. In the meanwhile, what happens is the whole lot of confusion that takes place. See, and we don't understand that we're giving the same type of a lesson to the child, same example. So you'll find in many homes, you'll find that the elder is calling for some young child, right? Ibrahim, Musa. So the child will be around, he won't respond. He won't respond. Second time, third time, fourth time. Right? See now, the style, the etiquette is that when the elder is calling, you respond straight away. Even if you are in the toilet, then to respond, I'm here in the toilet. So the elder doesn't feel uneasy. But now, you say you're in the toilet, now you can't speak. So the elder is worried now. Iska kya ho gaya? What happened to him? Why isn't he responding? Something happened? Is he some problem? Where is he? Why isn't he? So you see the uneasiness that is created. But if the child is trained to respond straight away, I ask you, do you bring about any type of inconvenience or uneasiness? No uneasiness. Umar Palampuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali dispatched Jamaat to Australia. So the style is, when they dispatch the Jamaat, right, to some far land, then every week or 2 weeks they give a report of what's going. So if the Merkaz feels that some adjustment must be made, they will make an adjustment. But a full detailed report is brought to the Merkaz. The Merkaz says, alright, study the letter and they give you further guidance. So Mullah read the response from the Jamaat and he wrote out a letter and he gave it to someone. So he says, post this letter. Anyway, it wasn't even about 4 weeks that the Jamaat returned. Now Mullah is asking this person that he'd given the letter to be posted, did you post the letter? Hey, ab tak mere jeb mein pada hua hai. I forgot to post this thing, it's still in my pocket. It was such an urgent thing. What was required was for the Jamaat to extend its time. Because it was the first or the second time you're sending out a Jamaat, and they need more attention. And now, your delay in posting the letter, this is what is resulted. So, the elders, one of their teaching is that when you accomplish something, then you come and report it. That this is the job that was assigned, and I've accomplished the job. This is the job that I was assigned to you, and I've accomplished that thing. Now, when you don't give that report, you think, no, we are big people, now we are responsible enough, I finished enough, so what? So now, what it creates is a little bit of anxiety in the mind. I wonder whether this thing is accomplished or not accomplished. What's going to happen? See the sense of responsibility. Now when there is that sense of responsibility from a young age, then the child is loved, he's respected. People have trust in him that no, he'll do something. If something is assigned, he will accomplish it, he will come and report. So we feel very comfortable with the person. But now if we assign the job to him, he's not reporting it. So what happens after some time, he feels very uneasy. But you give him some job, he's doing it, but he's not coming and reporting as to whether he's accomplished, not accomplished. He can't do it, he can manage it, he can't manage it. He's not giving us a report. So I ask you, isn't there a level of uneasiness? Now the style of the Sahaba Ikram is, they accomplish a job, they come and report. They accomplish, they come and report exactly what happened. See, it avoids all that uneasiness. The tension, uneasiness is all avoided. Small job, small task, or big task, but you're accomplishing and you're reporting. Elder is calling and straight away you're responding. See the beauty of the sunnah. He's giving you something and you accomplish the whole thing. Oh, it's a problem area, you couldn't do it for some reason, then you come and report. Rasulullah assigned Ali radiallahu anhu the task. I won't give you the task now. It's a mixed crowd, right? Sometimes some things are just fit for a class situation. So it can't be then discussed in an opening sitting, like open sitting. So he accomplished the task and he came back. I haven't accomplished because of this reason. Nabi Sam supported what he did. You didn't do it, or what you didn't do it was a good thing that you didn't do it. So he brought the report back to Rasulullah. Rasulullah seen the whole thing and he supported what he endorsed what he did. See the benefit of reporting. You assign the duty and he comes and reports. You assign the duty and he comes and reports. So it avoids any type of uneasiness, mental anxiety, worry, tension. On the side of the person that has been assigned, you begin to love him, you begin to respect him, you begin to take him in your confidence. Doesn't it happen? Because he's such a responsible person. You assign him with a job, he does it, he comes and reports, he'll do it as you want him to do it. See the Sahaba Kiram. And in all of them, this is not something just exclusive to one person or the other. No. It's a general pattern of all the Sahaba Kiram. They've been assigned with duties, they're doing the duty, and they're accomplishing, and they're coming back and reporting. They're not mincing the words. What duty has been assigned, they're doing it exactly, and they're reporting back to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether it is something that they have erred, whether there is something that they have done right, but they're reporting straight away. A group of Sahaba Kiram came back from some expedition, and they explained that this was the Amir, and the Amir wasn't performing. He wasn't performing like he's supposed to perform. So Rasulullah was upset with the person, the whole Jamaat. He said that you saw that this person wasn't deserving, he couldn't manage what I instructed him, you could have just replaced him. You could see now he wasn't accomplishing. When he wasn't accomplishing, then just you should have just replaced him. Someone else must go and do the work. The work had to be done. Personality is a secondary thing. But he couldn't accomplish, then you could have just replaced him. Why did you replace him? See now, there's so much of guidance. One hadith, two hadiths. But you see the guidance that is coming out. But now all this comes up when that hadith is being studied under some supervision, some guidance. And not with a preconceived mind or with a prejudiced mind. The mind must be totally clear for you to be able to grasp the lesson properly. Otherwise, if it's a preconceived mind or is a prejudiced mind, then you are seeing things from one perspective only. One person comes to Medina Munawwara from the sticks, now a villager, so he wants some assistance. So Bisham gave him. Generally, if a person is coming, a little bit of a responsible person, he'll give him a good package. Like sometimes he'll give him a camel's load, himlu ba'ir. Give him a camel's load. By the way, do you know what is a camel's load? So I was reading an article. A camel's load is approximately 350 kilos. And if it's a stronger camel, can go to about 450 kilos, almost a ton. Right? So much you can carry. So Nabi Sam gave him a camel's load or something, whatever it was. So he said, no, you didn't treat me well. Came so much, he said, you didn't see me right. So obviously Sahaba Kiram were disturbed. They wanted to discipline him there and then. So took him and gave him some more, additional. So now you're happy. So he said, Jazakallahu anil ahli wal ashira. On behalf of my household, on behalf of my whole tribe, may Allah reward you abundantly. That was over now. But now just see how beautifully Nabi Sam handled his whole situation. Nabi Sam tells him, you see, your first response disturbed the Sahaba Kiram. When they disturbed the Sahaba Kiram, so that anxiety is still suspended in their minds. I'm saying it's still suspending in the mind. Now the right thing is you go and announce it amongst them that no, now I've been rewarded very well. I've been given something very well. I'm too happy on behalf of my household and the whole tribe. Because the first time you caused anxiety, now when you're going to make this announcement, you will rub out that anxiety. The whole anxiety will be wiped out. But now if Rasulullah, say for example, Rasulullah heard the compliment, right? Jazakallahu anil ahli wal ashira, and he stopped there. Right? His mind is cleared up, but the Sahaba Kiram who heard all these things here, would their minds be cleared up? So his mind is cleared up, their minds are cleared up, now will they have any grudge, any ill feelings, any reservations in their mind? See, is clear, the mind is clear. Now sometimes you get these problems repeated. It carries on and on. Allah Pak, give us hidayat, right? They're into a marriage and someone is cheating on the other, right? On the phone, and suddenly that person is gone to the bath and this person is checking into the phone, looking into the history, and that history is a mystery. Now all the trust, everything collapses. He or she just checked into the history, what's going on with this person's personal life, and that whole love or that attachment, that affinity and trust, all is broken down. Now you see, when we do things like this, no transparency, doing behind the back, right? Then after some times, the trust is lost. When the trust is lost, now that marriage is not going in the right direction. But which point you started from? Start from this point here. So how important it is to be transparent in this type of issues. Absolutely clear, nothing is hidden, nothing is concealed. Everything is like what you see. You know. So the hearts are clear, the minds are clear, the reports are coming back. So you feeling absolutely clear, they feeling absolutely clear. So it just goes to enhance muhabbat, affinity, respect and understanding. So the importance to see hadith in perspective, then the importance of also having a sense of responsibility. A strong sense of responsibility. Now, in this day and time, one of the most forgotten or lost commodities is the same thing, this trust, level of trust, honesty. We're doing things, but we don't have that level of trust, honesty, etc. We don't have that. And that is, it's like a lost property. It's something that's eroded, something that is like exhausted. In one big community, you'll find two people that are very trustworthy. Otherwise, no. So you've been charged with the work. My Ustad, Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he served, I would say, at least about 50, 60 years in Mia Swam, right? So, he was offered another job with a much more higher salary, right? So his response was, let's see, Brother Shaykh Ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, Mu'az Kitab, he's assigned me to be here, right? And if I moved away, then what answer am I going to give him on the day of Qiyamah? He asked me to be here. On the day of Qiyamah, if he asked me, that you see, I asked you to be here, then why did you move away from here? Will I have an answer? But you see, the consciousness, the sense of responsibility, the respect to the elder, senior, right? Won't they win the love of the senior? The senior asked me to be here and not to move out from here. So I will just stay here right from my last. I'll breathe my last here. I won't move away from here. You see the sense of responsibility. Won't you win confidence, love, respect, etc.? A worldly class person will say, hey, you waste of time. You're getting a better package here, so why are you killing yourself here? But the person that's got akhirat before him, he's got a sense of responsibility in him, he's got a consciousness in him, his whole response will be different. If his boss got to know that this is his response, how the boss will feel? He'll feel very much appreciated, he's getting so much more offers, but he just abandoned all those offers just for the respect of this contract that he's got. So, this aspect of trust, honesty, reporting, the work is done, the work is accomplished, you come and report. If your senior is calling you, you respond straight away. If you're in a position, you just tell him, I'm in the toilet. So he'll know, right? He's in the toilet, it'll take at least about 5 minutes to wash up and come up. So he knows exactly what's going on. But you're not responding at all. So what happens? Doesn't it create a little bit of tension, worry, anxiety? And I ask you, aren't we guilty? Do we train our children like this? Right? Someone is calling, respond straight away. So elder, he gave you a job, you accomplished the job. Did you come and report back to him that this is the job that was assigned to me and I've accomplished. Do you come and report to him? It may seem like a small thing, but really it's something very significant. The child from the tender age, he's learned responsibility. He won't do things independently. He's learning responsible. I must be responsible. Responsible. I'm responsible for what I do. See? So he's reared, he's nurtured with a sense of responsibility. That in turn brings about a lot of respect, a lot of regards, a lot of love. People have got confidence in him. But he's just because of the sense of responsibility. I don't understand it. Then I tell the person, I haven't understood it. So he knows, all right. He hasn't understood it. Explain that to him again. But that was the whole ambiance in the whole Medina Munawwara. You just go look at it. Sense of responsibility, commitment. A task is assigned. You're accomplishing the task. You're coming and reporting. So there was a lot of order, understanding, and beautiful administration. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam as-Sulami radiyallahu anhu, he says, I came to Medina Munawwara and I've been a new Muslim, came in absolutely new, and I joined the namaz with Jamaat. It happened that someone sneezed. Now I had already learned that if someone sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, then if you hear that Alhamdulillah, you must say Yarhamukallah. So I said Yarhamukallah loudly, right? Because I'm giving the dua, he must hear. So this, he's using his reasoning. Now when I said that Yarhamukallah loudly, they began to stare at me. Yanzuruni bi ayunin shuzuri. They began to stare at me. So he was enraged already. Ma balukum tanzuruna ilayya. What's wrong with you people? Why are you looking at me? I didn't take any of your things. Why are you staring at me like that? فَبَدَأُوا يَدْرِبُونَ أَفْخَاذًا. Now they try to make me silent in a different way. They start striking at the thighs. So it says, no, I understood now. They're trying to make me quiet. So he said, لَكِنِّي سَكَّتُ. I was very, very enraged, you know. I haven't stolen anything from them. I haven't robbed them. So why are they giving me this type of a look? But I understood now, they're also trying to keep me silent. So I just remained silent. I was enraged, but I kept silent. After the namaz now, so Rabbi Sam inquired, what happened? What have he must ask? So Hazal Arabi, this villager, he causes all this problem here. So he says, Ma darabani, wa ma kaharani, wa ma sabbani. He never swore me, never swear me, he wasn't vulgar, he wasn't rude. But nicely, very respectfully, he says, see, namaz about zikr, Quran Sharif, takbir, tahal, etc. This is the things that go in namaz. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُؤَلِّمًا أَرْفَقَ مِنْهُ. I haven't seen a ustad, I haven't seen a teacher as gentle, as courteous, as warm as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. See that first impression. But now, it's coming out in the open, and it's corrected, and he is not taking any type of exception. Me, you know, I come from this place here, I'm a leader of my people, and they just correcting me on the open. No. He says it how it is, and Rasulullah is correcting him, and he doesn't take exception to this. See, in this day what's happened is the morale has gone right down. Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi is a teacher of us, Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullahi. So Mawlana says, people ask me that, I've written 1,000 kitabs. How many kitabs you studied to be able to write 1,000 kitabs? And only 3 kitabs. Hadith Sahib was one kitab, Mawlana Yaqub Sahib, and Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi. These are 3 kitabs. The level of trust and confidence I had in them, that brought about the flow. See, it's a flow. The flow is coming from above. Innama ana qasimun wallahu yu'ti. I just distribute ilm, etc. Whatever, I just distribute. But the provider is upstairs. Now we think, no, we think Indian style. How we think, we stress the person, delay the payment, it will make more profit. So I just explained, Mulana. Now everywhere this boring is carrying on. That boring story, let's hope it doesn't, not boring also. So that boring story is carrying on. So the payment was done. So the person that's doing the boring, he gave a discount. Whatever discount, or we apprehend, we, this is what we understood, that he's given a discount. So I told Mona, give him the full amount. If he wants 10 more, 5 more, 8 more, that's what he assumed. He found it very easy, so he felt obliged to give something. Perhaps he must have expected something more, right? So give him that additional amount. But it's 5, it's 10, give it to him. Now, this is going totally against Indian business. In fact, international business, not only Indian business, international business, right? It's going against that. But what's the philosophy, what's the wisdom in that? La tuhsi fa yuhsi Allahu alayk. You will tighten this idea, Allah Ta'ala will tighten from above. And you are easier, gentle with the person here, Allah Ta'ala will open up for you as well. One thing went, just now another customer will come, someone will come, and things will just open up for you. And Allah Ta'ala can, Allah Ta'ala doesn't only block out one thing. We think only about wealth, right? The health can go. Now, you have been gentle and courteous for this 5,000 rand. Allah Ta'ala could have saved you 50,000 rand in medicine, in treatment, hospital, etc. But you try to save that 5,000 rand here. And now, you go to hospital, you go to a doctor, you go to whatever. And see that that whole tap is being tightened for you. Had you been just gentle, then you were gentle to Allah Ta'ala's people. Whether it's a Muslim, non-Muslim, but you are gentle, you are courteous, who do they belong to? They belong to Allah Ta'ala. You are courteous to them. So the one above will be courteous to you. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. So we think, we only reason according to our brains, our intelligence, our understanding, our reasoning. But we don't think, alright, that hadith, how do we apply it to our personal life? Can we see 5 plus 5 is 10, 10 plus 12 is 22. That's the only way we can think. We can't think above that he is the provider, he will make it happen. However he'll happen, he make it happen, he'll make it happen. But what must I do in this whole scenario? What must I do? Do we think like that? The hadith is saying very clearly, ma naqasat malum min sadaqatin. Giving out charity, the charity is not decreasing your wealth. But now, this chacha is, says, I got 1 million rand now. If I give away 100,000 rand, I won't have the pride of saying I got a million. I'll no more be a millionaire. But what the hadith is saying, ma naqasat sadaqatum min malin. That sadaqah will not decrease your wealth. Now, do we believe in what, in our reasoning, our intellect in our eyes, or do we believe in what Rasulullah says? Now look at it, I'll just show you one example, a real example, right? Two people need to be stitched, right? A bad injury, they need to be stitched. So this is now a case that came to me, so first hand I seen the case, so there's no second report. No secondary report, the first hand report. So one person got it fixed up for 50 rands. Right, 50 rands fixed up, absolutely normal. The other one pays about 50,000 rand, got it fixed up. Hospital, this person here, that one, the 100 people will check up, 50,000 rand. But you look at both the previous injuries, identical injury, and when you look at how it healed up, it was identical. This man, it cost him 50 rand. This man 50,000 rand. So, dene wali zaat ko dekhte hai kabhi kya? Do you see the one that makes it happen? Or do you only understand 10 plus 10, 5 plus 2? Do you only understand that? Don't you understand that there is someone that is tightening, يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ. He tightens and he opens. You open up, he'll open. And you tighten, he will tighten for you as well. So now, this Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam, he's becoming more interested when he saw Rasulullah and the gentle, courteous, pleasant approach. He became more, he opened out. He says, Fina Kuhanan, amongst us there are people that predict you. They make predictions. They talk about the future, etc. Right? So don't pay attention to them. Finished. These are things, thoughts that pass the mind, and whenever there is a situation, you know, so they talk about some predictions. Yeah, Imam Mahdi, you know, so and so had predicted about him. So he's going to come now, just now, anytime. Now, you're taking a shot in the dark, you don't know what you're doing, whether it's right, not right, whether it's a guess, it's a speculation. Do you know about it? Are you confirmed? You haven't confirmed. I think I mentioned this once before as well. So, but I think just a few weeks ago, the course of this year, a few weeks ago. So this proposals, are all, we have a hard time. You know? They're asking for a reference. I mangu avelo shapar hu kare. This proposal has come through the beginning of this year. So what should we do? Well, why it becomes hard is because you give a true reference of the person, then that thing leaks out. His habits are not too good, you know. So they will say that girls' party that Mufti Sahib said that you're not too good. Therefore, we're turning it down. See how people have come. So they know a lot, right? But the understanding capacity has gone very low. Kasaratul Qurra wa qallatil Fuqaha. Amongst the portents of Qiyamah, people read too much, right? They read abundant information, but the understanding level will drop, will collapse. They don't understand, they can't understand, they can't see beyond, they can't do it. Now, this is that age. People feel, Maropur, the Ojo Siyar Shabya, my child, Johnny, you see how Siyar is. But they don't understand that ability to digest, understand, see it properly, digest the thing, they don't have it. So now, this phone came about a couple of months ago now, about a proposal, right? So, what do you think about this proposal? So I said, alright, you got some, looks like you got some reservation, right? Rather than me saying it, let them say it, right? Looks like, you know, you're asking me repeatedly, you got a reservation, so what's your reservation all about? He says, no, it doesn't look right, man. You're not talking, doesn't look right, etc. So then, should we accept this proposal or not? Understand now? They were on the verge of accepting, and they must have just have indicated, according to what I understood, they indicated that everything is on, but this had to, like, formalize it. Right? But now, before they can formalize it, they're running it through me. Because they feel now, if that is something, then there will be a lot of barakat in that, see. That's how they reason. We can see some things, but we can't see, so there will be a lot of barakat in that. Now, I know how they think, see. So I replied, see, this decision is not mine. If he's got some problem, then he needs to be referred to someone that is of that understanding. Like, for example, he's not talking very well or something, talking very little, then you are saying, you are eluding that he's got some mental challenge, mentally he's challenged, right? So then, if it is like that, then I'm not the person to refer to, then you must refer to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or someone else. Now they burden me, oh, you know that psychiatrist that one, two people, so can't you refer to them? See, I say, I'll refer to him, but you don't use my name, but I referred to him, and he gave this answer. You must say you all referred, and the answer you got directly from him. Well, again, you implicate me again. People know how to throw the buck, you know. Just shift it, put it on to the next person. That's what they want to do. They come out spot-free in the circle of the friends in the whole world. They look very nice. And the whole blame is on the next person. So I phoned the psychiatrist, said this is the problem. And what they are saying, perhaps if he gets into a marriage, then he'll come out of this depressive state. If he gets into the marriage, he'll come out of this depression. So I gave the whole story to the psychiatrist. This is what they say. I like his answer. He says, see, Mulana, I know you, right? You know me very well. This is taking a shot in the dark. It can happen, one in a thousand chance it can happen, and 999 times it won't work. It's one, you know, one in a thousand chance that it will work. So if I say you yes, then I'm taking a shot in the dark. Anyway, exactly what the doctor said, I wouldn't pass it on. So they called off the whole team. Now they make a big noise this side here, the boy's side. Oh, why they turn the thing down, etc. But now it's about 4 or 5 months passed, but that boy's condition hasn't improved. It's just retrogressing. And alhamdulillah, that girl, now, from 4 or 5 months, now she's married, she's happy. And this one here is just falling even further. So I ask you, if we just gave that answer right straight away, wouldn't it be a disaster for this girl? She's married with a person, but he's silent, he's not talking, ke vatash nahi karta. How will she feel? And will it be fair for us just to take the chance and send her over? So we're doing a disservice to her. You see this reporting, finding out, understanding, seeing in perspective, how important this thing is.